Morning. Good morning. Why don't we turn to Mark chapter 6? We'll be going through verse 30 to 44. If you have your one books with you, this is page 74. We'll be going through the 15th of March section, devotional, entitled "You Give Them Something to Eat." I'll actually be reading from the one book, so if you want to, you can just follow along with me there as well. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves have you? Go and see.' When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 100 and of 50s. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. And I'll move on to read the devotional for today. Jesus takes his disciples to a quiet place to try to get some rest, followed by huge crowds who want to hear more and to continue learning from him. Later, the disciples come to Jesus asking him to send the people away because it's late, there's no food around, and quite frankly, they're tired and haven't eaten either. Jesus simply answers, "You give them something to eat." I can sympathize with the disciples. Life is busy, and there are demands from all sides on my time, energy, emotional, and mental stress levels. Like the disciples, I'm busy, tired, I need my own space, I've worked really hard this week, and I don't have extra money to give. This story reminds me that Jesus is willing to multiply whatever I give sacrificially. 5 loaves and 2 fish become a feast for thousands in his hands. He takes the smallest amount that I can give and uses it in amazing ways for his glory. Amen. So lately, Pastor Sam, he's been preaching this whole year on why we should pray. And in particular, last Sunday when he was speaking, he talked a lot about how God wants to have a relationship with us and how, you know, God desires to have a partnership with us. And even though, you know, it's easy. He could do whatever he wants to, right? God is all sovereign. God is all powerful. He can choose to do whatever he wants to, but he chooses not to, right? He chooses instead to partner with his people and through the people accomplish his work. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because if you read this passage, I mean, I know a lot of us, when we first read this passage, when we hear about preachings on a lot of these passages, you know, they talk a lot about how, like, Christ, you know, fed the thousands, right? It talks about the miracle of how Jesus, you know, multiplied the bread and the loaves, bread and the fish to feed thousands of people. But, you know, this passage as well, if you kind of like shift your perspective a bit, if you kind of try to look at the context of the story through the eyes of the disciples, you actually can see the partnership that Pastor Sam was talking about last Sunday. You can actually see that at work here. And I know it's kind of like really and stuff, but you know, once I'll put everything into context for you. But you know, just on a side note, like, I really highly encourage every one of you guys, like, when you guys read the Bible now, like, really try to put it into context. It's like really revolutionized the way that I've been reading it now, because you know, for the longest time when I've been reading the Bible, you kind of take an audience perspective of what's going on, right? You kind of like, if, for example, like, if we hear, when we're reading about this, when we read about the story of feeding the 5,000, I'm picturing myself as one of those 5,000 sitting there watching Jesus do these things, right? And that's how I think typically maybe most of us think when we read about these stories and stuff. But, you know, if you turn it around to the perspective of the disciple who was with Jesus at the time, and you start to think about the way that they probably thought, and then you start thinking about the way they probably replied, you can see so many similarities between their lives and your own lives that it makes it actually so much more relatable. And so bear with me. So here's the context, right? So the apostles have come back from serving Jesus out there. Like, they did all this work for him. And they come to Jesus and they're like, oh, Jesus, you know, we just come back. We've done all this work for you. We've been ministering to all these people. And then Jesus looks at them and then he's like, you know, he recognizes that these disciples were tired, right? Obviously, which is why Jesus says, look, come away with me. We're going to go over to a far place, a deserted place, and you guys need to get some rest. So we're going to all go there away from the crowds. We're going to go there and we're going to get some rest. And so from the disciples, you're like, yeah, that's good. I need some alone time with Jesus now. I can get ministered to myself. So you're going, and then what happens is you're going, a crowd sees you go, like, leaves, right? And the crowd knows where you're going. So what this crowd does is they go ahead of you. I don't know how they're able to walk faster than the boat, but they get to the place first. And so when Jesus gets off the boat with his disciples, people are already there waiting for him, right? He thought it was going to be all, like, empty, but there are people there. And I can imagine as one of the disciples, you're there, you're like looking forward to rest, relax, kick back a bit. You get off the boat and then you see a multitude of people waiting for you right there. And at that point, probably you're thinking, yeah, I'm not going to get my rest that I thought I was going to. And then you're going to be a little bit, I would be personally a little bit more down. I'd be like, okay, all right. But then I would suck it up. Honestly, I'd probably suck it up. I'd say, okay, well, Jesus is here. Jesus is going to minister, so I'll do what I can to help them. But then probably over the course of the evening, because Jesus has been teaching them for a long time now, right? Because the way that the disciples come to him, they say, you know, it's a late night now. So Jesus has been preaching to them a long time. I could imagine by then the disciples are tired, right? These guys wanted to get some rest. These guys wanted to get some food in. They didn't. And, you know, I could relate, because if I'm tired and if I haven't eaten, I'm pretty upset. So it's no... You know, like, I can understand why the disciples would go to Jesus and be like, Jesus, you know, I'm tired. It's late now. You know, obviously, there's a need, right? These people, they're hungry too. So why don't you just send them off to the surrounding villages? Because there's nothing here. So why don't you send them off to surrounding villages and towns so that they may get something to eat, right? So I can imagine, I would feel like I'm doing, like, a nice thing, right? Like, a nice gesture, like, yeah, pass him. Jesus, there's a need here, so, you know, why don't we let the people go and satisfy that need? And then I can imagine Jesus is there, and he turns around and he says, you give them something to eat. And at that point, I'm probably thinking, what? Because think about the circumstances at that time. You're so tired. You know, you sucked it up for that long. You're hungry. It's late. There's no food around. And so you just wanted to, you know, get things a little better. And Jesus turns around and he chooses at that opportunity. And then the thing is here, from Jesus' perspective, that was a time he chose to partner with his people. Because he knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to, you know, feed the thousands of people. But the timing that he chose to invite his disciples to partner with him in the task was so, I guess, inconvenient, right? And the reason why, like, I'm kind of smiling, I'm laughing, is because I find that in my own life, you know, God will choose, has done so many times, chosen to ask me to partner with him in the things that he is doing at the most inconvenient time for me, right? I mean, how many times have we, you know, been at work, it's ridiculously busy, and then suddenly you feel like God's saying, hey, go talk to that person. And you're thinking, God, what? I'm so busy right now. I don't have time to go and do this. Or he'll say, you know, why don't you give some money to that person and bless them? And you're like, God, I'm having a hard enough time trying to support my own family. And, you know, really, do you want me to give this away to them? So for me personally, I can relate. I understand why these disciples felt the way that they did. Why they were, like, upset the fact that Jesus turned around and said, you give them something to eat. And I can understand why their responses were like, what do you want us to do? Go all the way out there. You know, we don't have 200 denarii worth of money. And honestly, you're asking me to go and buy $200 denarii worth of bread, do you know how much that would look like? I mean, you're thinking of thousands of people, and you want to buy a bread for every single person. I can't carry that. 12 of us can't carry that. It's going to be ridiculous. So for them, I understand that, right? But, and here's the thing, right? And this is where the partnership comes in, right? They still partnered with God. They still chose to partner with God. And, you know, I was thinking about this and stuff, and it's ironic because one of the house church questions that you guys will go through is, you know, what is the key ingredients or the core ingredients of partnering with God? That will be one of the questions that you guys will go through house church. And I realize, you know, like, you know, sometimes we think, yeah, partnering with God, we need to be, you know, ready, we need to be equipped, we need to be, you know, well rested and stuff. But you see, the circumstances of these disciples was none of that was the case. But they still partner with God, and I think this is the reason why. The key ingredient to partnering with God, right, is obedience. And it's not profound or anything, but honestly, it's obedience. These guys, these disciples, they were faced with circumstances that honestly wouldn't be the best, you know, circumstances for them to be working with God and partnering with Jesus. But yet they still chose to obey him and to listen to what he says and to do it. And, you know, and the reason, and you can see that obedience through their actions, right? Jesus says, oh, go and find out how many bread loaves you have. You know, go and distribute the food. And they did that. So, honestly, that's really what I wanted to share with you this morning. I just wanted to share with you the fact that the key ingredient, you know, Pastor Sam talked about partnering with God. And I'm kind of like piggying back off his thing. I'm saying this morning the fact that the key ingredient on how to partner with God is obedience. It doesn't matter if you're not ready. It doesn't matter if you feel you're not equipped or you don't have the means to do his work. It doesn't matter if you're tired. Just obey. All right? And that's, I think, that's something for all of us to learn how to do. I didn't want to just finish there because honestly, when I got that revelation from God and I felt like God was saying, yeah, Tom, see, partnership is all about obedience. My natural response was, it's so easy to say that, but it's so hard to do. You say it's easy to, you know, just obey, but how easy is it really to obey in times of, you know, when times are busy, when you're tired and stuff? It's not like you're tired and you feel like God's calling somebody to say, okay, I must obey. Okay, you just get up and just go and start doing your thing, right? It's not easy to do. And so I was kind of thinking about this, and I didn't want to leave you guys kind of hanging, just saying, yeah, just obey. Done deal. Just do it, right? Because, you know, it doesn't really help us just to hear that. So I want to give you guys some, you know, looking at this passage, I just want to give you guys some things that goes on here to just give you, I guess, hope or to make you feel better about what comes out of obedience and stuff, and maybe it will just help you guys with that process of why you should obey and how to obey. The first fact, you know, about obedience is the fact that when God calls you to partner with him, right, you know, and he says in this passage, he says, you know, you give them something to eat. And many times when God asks us to do something with him, most of us, we kind of feel like he's asking us to do something, right? He feels like, Tom, you go and speak to that person. And I'm thinking, oh man, I got to go and do this. I got to go and talk to this person all by myself. But the truth of the matter is, when Jesus wants to partner with you, it's a true partnership. He's not ordering you to do something. And so when Jesus says, you give them something to eat, he's not saying, you go by yourself and give them something. He's saying, I'm going to partner with you and I will be with you when we go and do this thing. So I think it's kind of good news for us, and it kind of gives us, you know, encouragement to know that when Jesus, you know, asks us and invites us to partner with him, he will be there. We will not be alone. Because I think that's a big thing for me personally. I think sometimes I feel like when God instructs me to do something, I feel like I have to do it on my own. But the truth is, it's not. God will work with you. So that's one thing. The second thing is, he will multiply what you have already, right? As you see in this example, Jesus, you know, he uses 5 loaves and 2 fish and he feeds 5,000 people. So in that same way, when you choose to obey, when you choose to obey and partner with what God's doing, he will already take whatever gifts you have. He will take whatever means you have already. and he will do the multiplication part in order to meet and to, in order to accomplish his will. So that's not on your part to do, it's on his part. So you don't have to worry about that. The other thing is, I realize that, you know, as you start to obey God and as you start to partner with him, your attitudes will naturally change, right? Because I feel like, you know, like many times I've been in a situation where I've been tired. I've been really tired and busy, and God's just asked me to do something. And reluctantly, I've chosen to obey. But as I obeyed and as I started talking to this person, you start to see God at work. And when you start to see God at work, you forget how tired you are. You forget how busy you are. And instead, your attitude shifts, and you just get blown away by what God's doing. And then you just get, and I think that's what happened with the disciples here too. You know, I think probably they weren't exactly the happiest bunch of 12 when they were starting to distribute the food. But as they started breaking bread, and as they started realizing, I'm feeding a lot more people than I should be with these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, I think their attitude started changing, and they recognized what God was starting to do. And then instead of being like, ugh, about having to do this, they started really giving glory and started really recognizing who Jesus was during that time. So that's the third thing. And the fourth thing is that, I'm trying to remember. Like, my big thing was, you know, like, fatigue was a big thing for me. Like, I had a trouble kind of obeying God in times of fatigue. And so I was kind of like, well, that's my biggest weakness, Jesus. You know, can you give me, you know, can speak to me in this passage to show me that obeying will, you know, address this issue of fatigue. Honestly, I didn't get that much out of it. The only thing I got was that if you read on the next passage, which we'll go into tomorrow, it says, the first line, it says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. So all I got from that was, Jesus will eventually make sure you get rest. So I didn't say I'd give you an answer why you should, like, how to make it easy to obey, but I'm just saying it, you know, might help. So anyways, just remember, when God calls you to partner with him with what he's doing, just choose to obey, okay? So why don't we close our eyes? And as Yvain comes up to lead us in worship, why don't we just take some time to, you know, reflect upon our own lives and stuff. And let's think, you know, maybe some of you here today, maybe there's actually something that God is already, you know, that God's been asking you to partner with him, right? And maybe some of you, like his disciples, are thinking, you know, God, I'm tired. God, I'm really busy. I got all this stuff going on. God, I don't have the means. I don't know how, you know, my experience, how my skill set is ever going to supposed to help this person in what you're asking me to do. And maybe those things prevented you from choosing to follow through and partnering with God. But today, you know, hopefully through this passage, you know, that you're encouraged that it doesn't require any of that. You know, when God asks you to partner with him, all he's asking you is just to say, yes, sir. And just to come alongside what he's doing. That he's going to take care of everything else. And in the process of as you obey him, that he is going to address all those other things that you always had concerns about, right? With, you know, whether you were tired, whether you had enough. He'll multiply it. He'll make sure you get rest. So yeah, I mean, this morning, if there is anything that's getting in the way, leave that up to God. You know, lay that aside. Lay that down. And instead, just focus on obeying him this morning. So, as part of early morning prayer, we've been spending this time just to lift up the pastor and the church and the leaders of the each person's devotional. And this morning, the person who wrote the devotional, her name is Kristen Frank, and she serves as a youth director at Union Church. So let's just pray. Let's just lift up her. She has a husband. His name is Grant, and they, you know, let's just pray that God would just bless this church, that God would use the leaders and the pastors of this church to really have a vision for God. That in this year of 2012, that it'll be a year where they are willing to put aside, you know, circumstances of what they're going through, and they will always constantly choose to obey God and the plans that He has for them. Let's pray that God, that also God will fulfill all the needs that they have as a church, whether it's financial, whether it's, you know, for deliverance, whether it's for healing. Let's just pray that God will come and He will touch them. Let's pray that that church will grow, not just in numbers, but for all the individuals that are there, that everybody there would have just such a deeper sense of purpose in their own spiritual lives, and that through the teachings of the Word that they receive at that church, that they will really strive to become the better disciples of God and to make His presence known. So let's just lift up that church. Let's lift up Kristen. Let's move on to our community focus. Let's lift up those people, you know, our brothers, our sisters, and their family members who are going through sicknesses. There are different kind of stuff up there and stuff. But, you know, as we've been doing, let's really be specific when we pray for them. You know, I say it every week, but I think it's really important that we do that. That, you know, when we pray for people, when we pray for sicknesses and stuff, that we are very specific. All right, and then let's just pray that God will come and that He will heal them of these things. That for those who are, you know, post-surgery, that God will just give them rest and that He will just give them a quick recovery. For those who are still in the process, that God will come and touch them. You know, that He would perform miracles through them by healing them, and that they would just serve as such an awesome testimony to those around them. So let's just pray. And let's just pray for, you know, and just God just to touch them, just to heal them. Let's continue on praying for our community. Let's go to the next slide. And let's also lift up those who are going through illness and also who need to hear the word of God. Let's pray that God would not just only touch them and heal them, but that God would also strategically position people around them so that they are able to hear the gospel. Because, you know, Pastor Sam shared about that passage in Romans, right? Like, people aren't going to believe unless they hear, and people aren't going to hear unless they are preached to, or they're spoken, you know, preach the gospel to. So let's just pray that every one of these people, that they, you know, that they are surrounded by people who will, you know, good men and women of God who will preach the gospel to them, so that as they're hearing the word, that in turn that they will believe and that they will give their lives to Jesus. Let's also pray for those who are going through infirmities, and let's also lift up those who are going through, who are in between jobs right now and who are looking. Let's pray that God will just give them and just open up them to the perfect job that God had in store for them, right? I talked about this before as well. You know, we have many skill sets. We have many talents. And, you know, sometimes we get caught up in thinking that these skill sets and these, you know, characters that we have are fitting for a certain type of role. And we lose sight sometimes because we think that that's the kind of role that we fit into. And we lose sight of what God may have wanted us to be in, where we could have actually been a better fit. And I use this as an example before, but, you know, Paul, right, he said that, right, he was a perfect candidate to minister to the Jews, right? He was a perfect candidate. That was probably the best, he was probably the best person to do that. And yet God instead chose him to preach to the Gentiles. And probably he was much, much more effective as a witness to the Gentiles than he was to the Jews, or he could have been to the Jews. And so in that same way, let's pray that as these people, you know, as these brothers and sisters, as they're looking for jobs, that they're constantly thinking, where can I use this talent that God wants to use them? Not where I want to use it, but where God wants to put them to use. And so let's lift them up. And yeah, you know, we have a lot of needs at church. And, you know, this is something we really need to push and pray for. And my hope is that by the time we get to the end of 2012, that when we come to EMP and when we're going through this list, that literally all of it will be is just prayer topics where it's just lifting up praise. That we're thanking God for this healing, for that healing. We're thanking God for this salvation, that salvation. We're thanking God for this job and that job. And I pray that for, you know, let's have that kind of faith, you know, when we pray. Let's move on to our missions focus for today. Let's lift up Kenny in Nagoya, Japan. Let's lift up Rachel in Thailand. Let's pray for Chris Kim in the persecuted church in North Korea. Let's pray that as they're serving in these countries, that God will continuously download upon them the vision that he has for them in that place. That they would understand that there's a big purpose and why they're there. And that, you know, that they won't feel burnt out as well. Because I know it's easy to do that. But, you know, getting burned out, a lot of it comes from trying to do things on your own initiative. It comes when you're just trying and trying and trying to do things on your own strength. But let's just pray that they don't, you know, get burnt out because they continually look to Jesus and they continually look to work with Jesus in that time. So let's lift up these three people as well as these countries. Let's also lift up the ministries here in Solomon's Porch. Let's lift up Noah's Ark. Pray for all the teachers as well as Pastor Carol, who oversees that ministry. Let's pray for the nursery at the back. Let's pray for SP Youth and for the men and the men and women's ministry as well. Let's pray that all of these ministries that serve as a part here in Solomon's Porch, that they would have such hearts and attitudes of willing to serve others, that they would just have, you know, people would just be wanting to express the love of God through the way that they're serving these places, whether it's teaching kids, teaching youth, you know, whether it's, you know, reaching out and trying to rally together men or women to, you know, do things together. Let's just pray that these ministries really serve a need that the people of God have. And let's also pray for the leaders as well. And finally, let's lift up the house churches who are meeting tonight. Let's lift up Conduit Road. Let's lift up Kennedy House Church, as well as PPHV. Let's pray that, you know, as people gather tonight, as they gather to meet, as they gather to fellowship, to eat, to minister to one another, that'll be a real time where people are able to come to grow deeper in the Word, that they come to share about the Word that was preached on Sunday, that they are able to, you know, ask questions that they've, you know, wanted to ask, and that they would be able to have answers that would help them to grow as Christians. Let's pray that there will be encouragement in that place, that there will be teaching, there will be ministering, there will be also challenging times as well, all to just sharpen each other, right? Like as iron sharpens iron. Let's also pray for vulnerability. Let's pray that people will be willing to go there and that they will be willing to open themselves up to people. Because, you know, relationship comes from opening and being honest with one another. So let's just pray that that would happen as well tonight, that they would feel safe as they do so. And let's also pray for the leaders, that they would have, you know, wisdom and discernment, and to preach with authority, to preach with clarity, and that the Spirit would just move in that place. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that, God, Father, that, you know, you could do anything you wanted to do. You could do everything on your own. You could have fed those 5,000 people by yourself if you wanted to. But yet you always choose to move through your people. You choose to make yourself known through the hands of your people. And I just thank you that, God, that that's kind of the heart you have. And, Jesus, I just pray, Lord God, that this morning, you know, I admit, you know, I'm really tired. And there's a lot of things out of my mind. I'm sure a lot of us here feel the same way too. But God, I pray that, you know, that as we go about the things of our days, whether at the office, whether if it's at home or church with our family, friends, or colleagues, I pray that, God, Father, that, you know, we won't look to our circumstances when you call us to do things, that you, when you call us to partner with you in what you're doing, that we won't look to our circumstances. But instead that we just remember that, God, that we can trust in you, then that we'll just choose to obey. And that as we obey, that we will get to experience just how amazing you are. That we'll be able to experience just how deep your love goes, just how much you care for us, and just how much you care for other people as well. So I pray that, God, Father, today, despite how busy they may get, despite how tired they may be, despite, you know, what lack of means that they may have, that Jesus, that they will still choose to obey. I pray also, Lord, that God, that you also give them such wisdom and discernment as well, Lord God, as they make decisions today. Let them know how to choose the right decisions that honor you, that are more aligned to your will. And I pray, Lord God, Father, that you would just bless them as well. Meet every single need that they have. And just, you know, let them know that you are there in the midst, right? I pray, God, Father, that you will, you know, reveal yourself throughout the day. Show yourself either through, you know, people or through things, just to let them know that you're there, just to give them comfort. Because, you know, it's good for us to know that on a daily basis. So we thank you, Lord God, Father, for this morning. We're excited to partner with you with the things that you have in store for us. And we lift all these things up in your precious Son's name. Amen.